Lord, we pray that you will speak to us this morning, Lord, and help us to take it in and to take something away fresh and new, Lord, to take us through the week. Amen. A few years ago, I had a very interesting conversation with a close friend of mine who told me that she felt that God had left her. And it was the start, or before the start of the service, and we couldn't do much until after the service. So we spent some time talking about it. And I suggested that perhaps God had not left her at all. It was she that had moved away. God was still there, waiting patiently, even if we could no longer see his presence. And as we talked, my friend, who was a committed Christian, came to realise that that was true. There are moments in life, as you probably all know well, when God seems strangely absent. We may wonder where he is, why he appears to be silent. Yet the reality is that he's not abandoned us. More often than not, it's life's pressures, disappointments, distractions that have caused us to drift from him. The encouraging truth is that he remains faithful, ready to welcome us whenever we turn back to him. We pray, but heaven feels silent. We work faithfully, yet see little fruit. We try to be courageous and find ourselves weary, discouraged, and overwhelmed. Today's readings speak into those moments. They tell us that God is present, even when we cannot see him, and that Christ comes to us even during life's fiercest storms. Both Elijah and the disciples find themselves in places they never expected to be. Elijah is hiding in a cave. He's absolutely scared stiff. And in some ways, who wouldn't be when you have a Queen Jezebel on your tail? Only a short time before, he'd stood triumphantly in Mount Carmel. He'd witnessed God's fire consume the sacrifice, proving that God alone is God. It should have been, and probably was at that time, the high point of his ministry. Instead, Queen Jezebel threatened his life, and Elijah runs into the wilderness. He's exhausted, he's frightened, and convinced he's failed. He even tells God, "I alone am left," which God eventually told him that wasn't true. There were quite a few thousand prophets that had not bowed their knee to Baal, and they were still there. He even tells God that he can't go on. And do we often feel something similar? We may not be hiding in a cave. Perhaps we hide behind a brave face. We carry grief, anxiety, disappointment, or loneliness, believing that no one really understands. Yet God knows exactly where Elijah is. God doesn't scold him for his fear. He comes to meet him. First, there's a mighty wind. Then there's an earthquake, and then fire. And each would have reminded Elijah of great moments in Israel's history when God had revealed himself in dramatic power. But the Lord is not in any of them. Instead comes with what the NIV beautifully calls a whisper, or in another version, a still small voice, as our last hymn reminded us. And another modern translation puts it, the sound of sheer silence. God speaks softly. Sometimes we look for God only in the extraordinary. We expect dramatic miracles or unmistakable signs. Yet much of God's work happens quietly in various ways. He speaks through scripture, faithfully read, through prayers whispered in the silence, through the encouragement of a friend, through the beauty of creation, through worship week after week, through bread broken and wine shared in remembrance of Christ. God's voice is often gentle enough that we must become still to hear it. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, "Be still and know that I am God." Stillness is not emptiness. It's making room for God to speak. And then in the Matthew reading, we move from the silence of a cave to the violence of the storm. And as we heard, the disciples are in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. The wind's against them, the waves are battering them, they're making little progress through all their efforts. And remember, they were rowing a boat, probably. Now, I know how that feels, because a few years ago, I was on holiday in West Wales, sailing in Cardigan Bay with a close friend of mine who was a very experienced sailor and in his something like 20-foot sailing boat. To get out and in from the mooring, it was necessary to use an outboard engine, because the sandbar, you had to get over the sandbar and the tide had to be at a particular height, and a very narrow gap between the rocks. And coming in that day was even worse, because the tide was going out and there was a very strong headwind. And at times, the bow, for the uninitiated, that's the front end, was even worse, because as the bow dipped, so the rear end lifted and brought the propeller out of the water. And when I looked at my friend, David, and saw the look on his face, I knew we were in a bit of trouble. However, with careful steering when he got it, and the Lord's hand, we survived. It seemed like hours, but only a few minutes. And sometimes life becomes exactly like that when you're into a headwind. The disciples were probably rowing like fury and not getting very far. We work harder and yet seem to get nowhere. Then everything changes in the darkness part of the light. Jesus comes walking towards them across the water. Instead of bringing comfort, it brings fear. They think he's a ghost. Fear has a way of distorting reality. And I don't know about you, but in the middle of the night, problems always seem worse. When morning comes, the problems seem a lot less. When anxiety grips us, we often fail to recognize the presence of Christ. Yet Jesus immediately speaks. Take heart, it's I, don't be afraid. These words deserve our attention. It is I more than a simple introduction. It echoes God's own holy name, I am. Jesus is revealing that God, who spoke to Moses from the burning bush and who whispered to Elijah in Horeb, now becomes personal to his disciples. The God of Israel is walking towards them in the person of Jesus Christ. Peter, wonderful Peter, impulsive as ever, answers, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. Jesus simply says, come. Peter climbs out of the boat, and for those few moments he walks on water. Not because he possesses exceptional courage, not because his faith is flawless, but because his eyes are fixed on Christ. Then Peter notices the wind. He sees the waves. He remembers all the reasons why this cannot possibly work. And unfortunately, everything goes pear-shaped, and he begins to sink. Now, I think Peter has had a bad press over this. We often remember that he sinks, but we forget that he was the only one that got out of the boat. The disciples stayed put. And isn't that a picture, perhaps, of our own discipleship? When our attention is fixed on Christ, we find strength we never imagined. When our gaze settles only on the problems surrounding us, fear begins to overwhelm us. Yet the most important part of the story is not that Peter sinks, it's what happens next. Peter cries, Lord, save me. Three words. Not carefully prepared prayer, not polished theology, but an honest cry from the heart. Matthew tells us, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And notice the word, immediately. That word is full of grace. Jesus doesn't wait until Peter deserves rescuing. He reaches out, and that's the gospel. Not that our faith is perfect, but that God's love is perfect. Both readings remind us that God meets people exactly where they are. He meets Elijah in his despair. He meets Peter in his fear. Neither received condemnation, both receive God's presence. And that's still how God works today. Perhaps we've come to church this morning carrying burdens no one else knows. Perhaps we're exhausted by caring for someone. Perhaps we're grieving. Perhaps we're worried about our family, our health, or the future. Perhaps we simply feel spiritually dry. Hear today's good news. Christ comes towards us. He's nearer than we imagine. He still says, take heart, I am. Don't be afraid. So whether today we feel like Elijah in the cave, Peter in the waves, or the disciples struggling against the wind, remember this, God knows where we are. Christ comes to us. The Holy Spirit still speaks in the silence. And the hand that reaches out into the storm is still strong enough to hold every one of us. May we have ears to hear God's gentle voice, eyes to recognize Christ in our midst, and courage to trust him through every storm until the day comes when every storm ceases and we stand safely in the eternal kingdom. So let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you are with us in every storm and speak to us in the quiet. Keep our hearts fixed on you. Strengthen our faith and give us courage to follow where he leads. Fill us with your peace and send us out today with joy and hope. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading today is taken from 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9 to 18. At that place, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go, return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as a prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this morning is taken from the New Testament, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord.